the principle of the two trees in the garden. If we get an understanding of what these two trees stand for and a revelation of their impact, what their impact on our lives will be, then we can avoid deception. And the tree of life releases life. The tree of knowledge of good and evil releases death. God pronounced death as the natural consequence of partaking of the fruit of that tree. At the center of God's creation, God placed life and death before man. Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you praise for this privilege you've given us. We pray, even as your word is coming, your word of righteousness, we pray that you help us to be rightly aligned with your word. And we pray that, oh God, your word will change us, change our thinking, change our constitution, and help us to be on the same wavelength as you are. We give you praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We thank God for this morning. Today is 12 November 2017. 12 November 2017. And today I'm talking on the principle of the two trees in the garden. The principle of the two trees in the garden. And for some time now, we've been looking at deception. We started by looking at the veil of deception, and we saw that in this end time, one of the things that we're going to grapple with as believers is deception. And so we have to know how things are, what God wants us to do, and how not to be deceived. Because Jesus, the first instruction or warning he gave the disciples when he was talking about the end time, he said, take heed that you are not deceived. Take heed that no one deceives you, which makes deception something very serious that we have to look at. So we looked at the veil of deception, and then we also touched on rightly dividing the word of truth. And we also talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. And last week we talked about hirelings, madmen, and wolves. Hirelings, madmen, and wolves. And today we are talking about the principle of the two trees in the garden. Now, it is very important that we have a revelation or an understanding of these two trees that were in the midst of the Garden of Eden in order not to be deceived. If we get an understanding of what these two trees stand for and a revelation of their impact, what their impact on our lives will be, then we can avoid deception. Then the devil cannot pull a fast one on us. Otherwise, Satan can give us packages that will actually look like they are very good packages, but they will result in death. Because the enemy, his mission, he has just one mission, and his mission is death. He said, the devil, the thief does not come, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if the devil comes to your house, know that he's coming with one mission, to destroy you. He will steal you, kill you, and destroy you. Satan doesn't have any good thing. Even if he comes with good things, if the devil comes to your house with a truck full of load, know that he's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Don't be deceived by the load, the truck full of gold that he has come with. That is just the outward package to deceive you. Satan can give you sweet things, but know that no matter how, it doesn't matter how sweet what the devil gives you is, the end result is that he will steal you, kill you, and destroy you. If we know that, then we can be delivered from the deception. So we will not be enthused by the packages, but we will go on to look at the content and judge whether the content is giving life or is giving death. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. That was the first mention of these two trees in the Bible. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Okay, chapter 2, sorry. Verse 9. It says, are you there? Okay, from verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was also in the midst of the garden. So these two trees were in the midst of the garden. And there were three manner of trees in the Garden of Eden: the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then all other trees. Three manner of trees in the Garden of Eden. It is not a coincidence that we had three crosses on Calvary. It's not a coincidence at all. It has a connection. Now, when you look at this text, you realize that this tree was in the garden. When Adam was created, the two trees were already in the garden. And they were in the midst of the garden, at the center of the garden. And from what God said later on, we could see that the tree of knowledge of good and evil releases death. Because he told Adam that, of this tree you shall not eat, for the day you eat of it. Let me read it. Genesis 2:17. Okay, from verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, of every tree. Which means that the tree of life too was made accessible to man. You see, every tree. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God pronounced death as the natural consequence of partaking of the fruit of that tree. God did not say that the day you eat a tree, I'll kill you. He said, the day you eat it, you will surely die. So the tree of knowledge of good and evil releases death. And the tree of life, as the name connotes, releases life. So the question is, at the center of God's creation, God placed life and death before man and gave man the power and the right to choose. And that's what God does. You know, he still does that. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 15, let's read Deuteronomy 30 verse 15. The Lord showed them something. In Deuteronomy 30 verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So he said, I've set before you life and death, good and evil. Then he said, choose one. That reminds us of Garden of Eden, where there were two trees at the middle, in the midst of the garden, and God placed man in the garden, and man had the freedom of choice to choose either of these two trees, which one to eat from. Now, in Proverbs 18:21, Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So, death and life, they are in the power of the tongue. So, God gave man the permission to either choose life or to choose death. And these two trees, we must know the products. The tree of knowledge of good and evil produces death. It doesn't matter whether it's good or evil. Once it's coming from that tree, it's death. Because the tree has a good side and an evil side. But both the good side and the evil side, they release death. Because that tree itself releases death. Are you getting me? Now, what has happened to us as a church is that we have generally tended to avoid the evil side of the tree of knowledge. But we tend to embrace the good side of the tree of knowledge. But both the good side and the evil side, they produce death in the sight of God. So God wants us to eat from the tree of life, not the tree of knowledge. Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then everything became bad. Everything went wrong. As we go along, you will see the fruits. What came out of that? That one step they took, just eating one fruit. You see, the matter of eating is very important in the Bible. What you eat matters a lot. You know, you are what you eat. Because Adam ate and Eve just ate one fruit, and everything changed. Everything changed. So both the good side and the evil side of that tree produces death. Now, so the good that comes from the tree of knowledge is equal to the evil that comes from the tree of knowledge. The only thing that will please God is life. The only thing that God counts is what is coming from the tree of life. I'm going to show you what these two trees stand for. Now, everything that comes from God is good, but not all good things come from God. Everything that comes from God is good. Bible says all good and perfect comes from above. Anything that God does is good. But not all good things are God things. There are some good things that are not God things. And that's the kind of deception that we must deliver from as a church. That not all seemingly good things are God ordained or are coming from God. The basic principles of the two trees is this. Before Adam came on the scene, there were already two wills. If you listen to the message I preached on his will versus I will, I touched on that. But before Adam came on the scene, there were two wills. God's will and I will. God's will and I will. God, not God's will and Satan's will. God's will and I will. I will. These were the two wills that were in place before Adam came. Before Satan rebelled, Lucifer rebelled, there was only one will, the will of God. The will of God was governing the heaven and the earth, and everybody had to do God's will. So one day, Lucifer got up and said, I will. When he said, I will, and he rebelled against God, God did not remove him from the scene. He did not destroy Lucifer. He allowed the rebellion to run its full course. So now we have God's will, and the opposite of God's will is I will. And these two trees were representing these two wills. Come to Isaiah chapter 14. Let's look at the Lucifer, the will of the five wills of Lucifer, five will declarations. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. It says, how you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. That's number one. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And number five, I will be like the Most High. These are five will declarations, five I will declarations of Lucifer. That was what set the tone for the scenario we have in the Garden of Eden. Two trees in the midst of the garden, one producing death, one producing life. And one would have thought, why would God allow death in the Garden of Eden? Why would God allow something that will produce death? The reason is that God, before Adam came, those two wills had been established. And God had to be fair to man and give man the freedom to choose. So Adam could have chosen to eat of the tree of life. But see, the devil came to tempt man to tow his way, to tow the devil's path that had been created by himself. That path is the path of I will. So when Satan presented the packet to Adam, he didn't say, follow me. He said, follow yourself. Be a master of your own destiny. Be the God of your own life. Be yourself. Be God on your own. You will be as God, not knowing good and evil. You wouldn't have to answer to anybody, no accountability. You are God on your own. You are the boss. Be the boss. And Adam bought into that package. So Adam did not follow Satan. He followed himself. But because the path that had been created was the path of I will, he ended up following Satan. That was how these two trees came into the garden. And God had to allow it because the rebellion that Satan started, God did not destroy the devil. He allowed rebellion to run its full course. And at the end of the day, God is going to prove to all creation that without me, the creator, you can do nothing. What the devil wanted to prove was that I can do something. I can be something without God. So he came to Adam and said, you can be God without God. You will be as God. You don't need to be God-centered. You can still be God. You don't need to have a relationship with God. You can still be God. Just get knowledge and you will be God. You will know good and evil and you will be just like God. You remember that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, God said, behold, the man and the woman have become like us. For now, they know good and evil, like me. So they had become like God, but they didn't have relationship. And God's priority was life, not knowledge, relationship, not independence. God wanted man to be dependent on him, dependent, derive his strength. You know, God gave man dominion over the earth. But man was to exercise dominion over the earth in relationship with God, not in independence. And Satan said, no, declare independence. Just leave him. Declare, be on your own. You can be on your own. All you need is to get knowledge. You will do the things he's doing if you get knowledge. So just get knowledge, eat the tree, be on your own. But that was death. Because separation from life is death. Independence from life is death. And so God wanted man to be dependent. And that's the tree of life. And you can see these two trees, the principle of these two trees, right throughout the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you will see two distinct groups of people. Those who feed on the tree of life and those who feed on the tree of knowledge. You will see these two groups. I mean, it's so amazing. From Genesis to Revelation, you will see just two groups in the Bible. You know, and even in the world, you see these two groups of people. You will see that there are some people, they exhibit the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And some also exhibit the fruit of the tree of life. Now, when they ate the fruit, they imbibed the seed. And that seed, you see, when they ate the fruit, the seed of Satan entered them. And that seed began to bear fruit with time. So after they ate the fruit, we see the first murder happen after they ate the fruit. Cain killed Abel. You see cases of rape, incest, cases of murder. You see lies, cheating, and all those things coming after they ate the fruit. The first time man experienced fear was after they ate the fruit. He experienced fear. Man never used to be afraid. But he said, when I heard your voice, I was afraid. Then I ran and hid among the trees. That was the effect of eating the fruit. Let me use this to illustrate. You see, Jesus Christ said that in Luke 8, 11, he said, the word, the seed is the word. So when you listen to somebody's word, you have imbibed the person's seed, and that seed will grow. Bible says, do not be deceived. Evil communication will corrupt good manners. Anybody who speaks to you constantly, he's sowing seeds into your life. Anybody you listen to constantly, he's sowing seeds. So if the seeds are poisonous seeds, the seeds will grow and you will start bearing poisonous fruit. That's what he said, don't be deceived. evil communication, the things you hear. Jesus Christ said that, take heed how you hear and what you hear. Because the things you hear, you will bear the fruits thereof. In James chapter 1, verse 14, you know, James gave us a picture of, you know, what happened in the garden. A picture. He said, from verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So it's like Adam took the seed in him, then it brought forth sin, then it brought death. It always starts with a seed. And when they obeyed the voice of the devil, they took the seed, because the word is the seed. They took the seed. You know how Mary took seed? She obeyed the voice of the archangel. She believed his words and opened her heart to receive. When she opened her heart to receive, she took seed. And that's how we take seed. That's how the seed of destiny is birthed in people. So that what you hear is very important. So when they heard it, and they believed it, they conceived it, and they bore the fruit. But you see, that tree, the end result of that tree is death. So the fruit was death. No death, the end is death. No reward, no record. If you eat from that tree, before God, you have no record, no reward. The end is death. You die. Now, this tree of knowledge of good and evil, I'm going to focus on that. The fruits are three things, but today I'll talk about one. Self-centeredness, self-effort, and ambition. But I'm going to talk about self-centeredness today. Then I'll talk about self-effort and ambition some other time. So these are the fruits of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. When they ate the tree, we see these three things after they ate the tree. Self-centeredness, self-effort, and ambition. These three things come from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life produces Christ-centeredness and Christ-likeness and life. But the tree of knowledge is self-centeredness, self-effort, and ambition. Now, when they ate that tree, that fruit, their first reaction was they considered themselves. They observed themselves. They looked at themselves. Bible says their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. That was self-consciousness. They became conscious. They were naked all along. Genesis 2:25. And the man and his wife were naked and not ashamed. But why is it that here, they saw that they knew that they were naked? That was the fruit of the tree. That was self-centeredness. They looked at themselves. That is where selfishness was born. And selfishness is the firstborn of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. When the focus is on self. You see, the reason why they didn't know they were naked was that their focus was on God. So, the light of God covered their nakedness. But the moment they ate that tree, their focus came on themselves. And so, they saw their deficiency. They saw their nakedness. And then the second thing is that they tried to do something about it. They sowed fig leaves and tried to cover their nakedness. Covered their nakedness by their own means. Self-effort too was born. So self-centeredness is the firstborn of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then self-effort, secondborn. Then ambition is the thirdborn. Now these three things, those are the three things that caused the fall of Lucifer. I will. He looked at himself. He said, because of your beauty, your heart was lifted up in pride. How did he know he was beautiful? He looked at himself and said, wow, I have this beauty. I have these qualities. Why am I still serving God? Then self-effort. He wanted to help himself. He said, I will ascend. He had an ambition. I want to be like the Most High. So anytime we see people with these three things, you will see that we are exhibiting the fruit of the seed of the tree of knowledge of good. And those three things, they will always end in death. Not only physical death. I'm talking about death as in no record, no reward, no fruit. If we walk in these three things, we'll have no fruit before God, no record, because God hates this tree. Anything that comes out of self, God hates it. Self-motivation, self-help, self-effort. Even the good things, he hates it, because they come from that tree. And that tree has done a lot of harm to the church. Because now, it's like this. Everybody is thinking of himself. That's the product of eating the tree. You become selfish and self-centered. The number one problem in the world today is selfishness. The reason why we have a lot of problems in this world is because of selfishness. And selfishness was born in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve ate that fruit. So we see the fruit of that tree all around us in selfishness. Do you know that God created enough resources to feed everybody on this earth? There are enough resources to feed every human being on this earth. But the reason why some are starving and some are full is because of selfishness. Because when man ate the fruit, man became self-centered. Then man started thinking about hoarding, thinking about security, thinking about getting in more than enough for today and putting some aside for tomorrow. Whether somebody else has gotten some to eat for today is not his care. All that he's thinking is myself, me, myself, and I. This is the selfish trinity. Me, myself, and I. And it comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You see selfishness in nations, in leadership. People get political power and all they think about is me, myself, and I. You see, the kind of government that Adam was practicing was a government of love. Adam held all the resources in trust for all creation. So Adam was in charge to distribute, to manage and distribute the resources so that everybody will get something. So when Adam ate that fruit, man became selfish. That's why now in politics, everything's about selfishness. What I will get. If I will get something and somebody will lose something, I don't care. All I care about is myself. How I am going to go on. How I'm going to live. How I'm going to flourish. What happened to somebody, I don't know. I don't care. I don't bother about it. That is what is destroying the world. In families, you will see people in families who God has blessed. And you will see that they are thinking about they themselves and no other person. They are thinking about how they will go on. What happened to you, I don't know. I don't care. I don't bother. What about that other person? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. All I'm thinking about is me, myself, and I. So if my family, my line will go and this line will suffer, I don't care. That's why people sometimes even kill, use witchcraft power to kill and to destroy one. You see some families, one line is going on and one line is suffering. And it's all because of selfishness. Everything. Even in the church. Our major problem is selfishness. That's the problem we have as Christians. And listen, everybody is selfish. Some are less selfish, but everybody is selfish. Everybody, no matter who you are selfish. You can be less selfish, but because they even say that the first law of human existence is preservation. Right now, let something come here. You will see where I'll pass. I will not think about you. I will just vanish somewhere. Yes, that is selfishness. So it is something in us. So we always have to make sure that we are. God wants to deliver us from that tree completely. But you see, it is in us. So God always tries to help us to be less and less selfish till we get to a point where we'll be selfless. Nobody can say that you are not selfish. You are selfish. I am selfish. We are all selfish. Oh, yes. Right now, if somebody comes with a gun and says, which of you says that you are a believer? You will say, oh, is that the Joe who has been saying that? he's a believer. We are not believers. Hey, yeah. And me too, I will say, me. When did I say I was a believer? Why? I don't want to die. You don't want to die. That is why we must respect Jesus. It's not easy to die. So, we say, okay, when you say, I love you. You see, don't say I love you just like that. Do you understand love? You see, love is when you can die for somebody. So, I love you. We have cheapened it. True love is when you can die for somebody. If you can die for the person, don't say I love you. Say, I'm trying to love you. we are trying to love each other. But don't say, I love you with all my heart. Really? With all your heart. So can you sacrifice your life for the person? Can you decide that, okay, me, like Paul said, I wish I was accursed that the Israelites would be saved. I mean, that was a serious statement, that saying, I wish I would go to hell. I've not gotten to that point where I would say, I wish that I would go to hell, that somebody should go to heaven. No. When Jesus comes, me, I'm going. there was a pastor at Godi here, and they were doing something. Then they were praising, doing praise, and then there was lights out. Then some people entered the room with candlelight. The pastor was preaching about rapture. Then he wanted to jump through the window. Then a nail caught his. He said, "You should jump at me. Leave my shirt. I want to go." So God's main agenda was to deliver man from the seed of self, because we are all selfish. And that's why Jesus was revolutionary. The things he said, there were things that human beings failed to grasp because it was so selfless, utterly selfless. He said, greater life, greater love has no man than, let me read, John 15 verse 13. That's why I'm saying that don't just say, I love you, I love you. It's all fake. When death is coming, will you be able to take it for another person? Romans 15 verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Lay down one's life for his friend. That is love. You know what love is? Love is when you give yourself for another because of God. When you give yourself for another, that is love. When you are able to sacrifice for another, that is love. It means you are less selfish. No sacrifice, don't talk about love. He said, greater love, there's no greater love than this, for a man to lay down his life for his friend. That is the ultimate show of love. death is the ultimate proof of love. That is why faith, you see, the faith that we get when we are born again, that faith is a seed. When that faith grows, it turns into agape. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, it talks about making every effort, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and then to that one agape. That agape there is not just saying I love you. It's when your faith has gotten to a point where you can die for him. That is the ultimate love. He said, Simon, lovest thou me more than this? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, okay, when you were young, you tied your belt around your waist and went where you wanted to go. But when you are old, somebody will tie a belt around your waist and take you where you don't want to go. And said, this speak he, signifying the kind of death with which Peter should glorify him. That was agape, brighter love. Agape, where you can die for him. That is where we are getting to. The faith movement was supposed to give birth to that kind of movement. That faith that can go to any extent to please God, even at the cost of our lives. That is Christianity. So Stephen and Co., they were the people who really, really believed in Christianity. Sometimes, you see, when I was going through this message, I asked myself, am I a Christian? Am I following something that the same thing that was in the Bible, is that what I'm following? And I realized that it's not true. I'm not following the same thing that the early believers, what we claim to have seen. Is it the same thing that they saw? I don't think so. Because I asked myself, look at how these people, they gave their lives. But now, we are thinking of preserving our lives. In fact, I'm thinking of preserving my life. Of course, I want to live for long. But that thought itself is not Christianity. Christianity is, I want to please God. Even at the cost of my life, we will get there. But we are all selfish. But God will help us to be less selfish. Never think you are not selfish. No. You see, selfishness was from the tree of knowledge. And that tree, every human being, you have the seed in you. Even when you are born again, you still have selfishness in you. And the purpose of Christianity, or God's dealing with us, is to deliver us from selfishness gradually till we get to a point where we become utterly selfless. No sacrifice, no love. So Jesus Christ came to deal with the problem of selfishness. He was revolutionary. What Jesus did, nobody was able to do. Giving his life. Come to Titus 2:11-14. The definition of love is to give your life. That's what love stands for. Give your life. Titus 2, verse 11. Okay, let me read from verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Who gave himself for us? Ephesians 5:25. Who gave himself for us? Can you give yourself for somebody else? Can you sacrifice for somebody else? That means you are less selfish. I will not say you are not selfish. You are less selfish. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. He gave himself for us. Sacrifice his pleasure for us. Sacrifice everything. Mark 10:45. The definition of love is to be able to give yourself for another, to think of another. If you don't think of another, it means you are feeding from the tree of knowledge. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He gave his life. Give his life a ransom for many. Give his life a ransom for many. That is the definition of love. Jesus is the ultimate expression of love. When he gave himself for another, he gave himself for us. That is love. Love is not in words. Love is in action. Giving yourself for another, that is love. That principle of the tree of knowledge is so entrenched in the church. That's why we have all become so selfish. So selfish that we are born again and going to heaven and not thinking about those who are born again. So selfish that we look to our own needs and our own progress and our own flourishing, and we don't think of other people, that other person. So selfish. We have become so selfish. But God wants to deliver us. Jesus' victory over the devil happened in the garden when he accepted to die. That was when Satan was defeated. That was when the head of the serpent was crushed. Not when he hung on the cross, when he accepted in the garden to die. That moment was a very trying moment, dicey moment, where the destiny of creation was hanging in the balance. The destiny of creation was hanging. Either for Jesus to toe Satan's line and say, I will. Or for him to toe God's line and say, not my will, but yours be done. It was not easy. That battle he was going through made his sweat become blood. He was going through the process of being ground, going through grinding, squeezing, where blood was being squeezed out of him. It was a difficult moment. So all the angels, I believe, were watching with keen interest. All creation was also watching with keen interest. Everybody had held his breath, waiting to see what Jesus would do. Even, I believe, God himself was watching with keen interest. That's why he didn't answer him. He said, Father, Abba, Father, all things are possible. If it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Let this cup pass over me. Abba, Father. That was the first time he used that term, Abba, Father. Abba, Hupata, meaning that, dear daddy. He was trying to say something for the father to be convinced that, no, you don't have to go through this. Let it be for another time. Or let somebody else go through it. But when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, that was when Satan's head was crushed. The only way to defeat Satan is when you are selfless. One way to crush his head from your life is when you go out of your own pain to attend to somebody's pain. You crush the devil. When you out of your own need, instead of somebody's need, you crush the devil over your life. It is death that will make the devil lose track of you. It is death because there are two trees. But you are either eating from this tree or from that tree. When Jesus said that, all creation, all the angels, Father God, all of them, they sighed in relief. Say, we are now relieved. And the devil knew that he had lost the battle. Because he said, I will. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. That was a battle of wills. That was what he was going through. That's why he was so tense, so heavy. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He was telling the three. He said, my soul is heavy. What I'm about to do is a burden on me. Because the destiny of mankind will be dependent. Because Adam chose to go Satan's way. Adam said, I will. Self-government now. I will. And all humanity was plunged into chaos. And the last Adam too has come. Now the choice is before him. Make one move, and the destiny of humanity is closed forever. Then he said, not my will, but yours. He said, I will die. I will not my will, but his will. When he said that, Satan was defeated. He was defeated. Now, the solution to all problems, whether in marriage, in ministry, in politics, in business, is to think of the other person. That's all. That's the solution to all our problems. The problems we are facing in this world is because we are thinking of ourselves. The solution is selflessness, to think of the other person. That is what, if you want the Garden of Eden environment in your life, the solution is think of other people. Because in the Garden of Eden, there was no selfishness. Selfishness came when they ate that tree and they thought about themselves. Do you know when God healed Job? Bible says, and when Job had prayed for his friends, God turned his captivity around. God rewards selflessness. Because anytime you do that, it means you are refusing to eat from that tree. God hates self. Philippians 2 verse 1 to 4. This is the solution. I attended a wedding in 2009, and the pastor came and said, the whole sermon was like 3 minutes. He read this scripture and he said, go and put it into practice. You have a good marriage. So those of you who want to have good marriages, well, I told you you were going to say amen. Amen. If you want to have good marriages, amen. Yes, some people are receiving it. Others are doing like, oh, I receive it. Sit and go away. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. This is the way to live the abundant life. If you want a life full of joy, this is the way. A life full of fulfillment, this is the way. A life full of prosperity, this is the way. That's why, you see, when we say give, it shall be given to you. God has already established a principle that the more you think of other people, the more you receive. Jesus Christ said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's a principle that God has established already. So when you are thinking of other people, then you are also creating room for yourself. That is the solution to all the problem. Do you know that people who think of others end up becoming heroes? Mention anybody who is a hero, even in the world, even in the eyes of the world. There are people who left their comfort zone in ministering to other people. Why do we hail Nelson Mandela? He went to prison not on his own, for his own sake, but for the sake of people. That is even in the world. The world even rewards and acknowledges selfless people. And God also does the same thing. He does the same thing. So, God is pleased when we consider others. That's when we start living the life that counts. Meaningful life is a life that you are thinking of others. That's if you want your life to find meaning, don't think about yourself. Think about others also. He didn't say don't think about yourself. He said, don't think about your interests only. Think also about other people's interests. That is the way to be happy in this life. Our joy is linked to how we are able to come out of ourselves to minister to other people. That's where joy comes from. Hello? So God has always rewarded people who were less selfish and selfless. Come to 1 Kings 3, verse 5 to 13. 1 Kings. Look at Solomon. Even our prayers. If you can get God to answer our prayers, we should stop praying selfish prayers. When God sees that you are praying prayers that are not selfish, God answers those prayers faster than selfish prayers. Even selfish prayers, he said he won't answer it. Because you ask to consume upon your last. So he said, you ask. He said, you don't receive because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your last. That is why intercession and worship, these two are above all forms of prayer. Because worship is selfless. It's unto God, holy unto God, burnt offering. Intercession is for other people, not yourself. And these two things, they are above all forms of prayer because of the selfless element in it. It takes selflessness to pray for some people when you yourself have needs. Yes. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Okay. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Remember, this was a dream. So the things Solomon was asking for in the dream, they were things in his heart. They were things in his heart. It was a dream. So he couldn't have lied. In a dream, you see the things that are in your heart. It's like when you leave this body, your spirit man is can be controlled. That's why you can't say, okay, I'm not born again, but I've left the body. Let me try and dodge hell. So I'll pretend I'm going to hell, then I will quickly dash to heaven. You can't be go in the spirit. That it doesn't happen that way. You will follow where you will go, you'll be led there. But he said, verse 6, and Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he went before you in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made me your servant king in place of my father David. But I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of a people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And also, I've given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. Look at God's reaction. Because you did not ask this for yourself, I will do this and even do more. Why? You didn't ask for yourself. He said, give me understanding so that I can judge your people. Give me grace to lead your people. God said, you didn't ask for money for yourself. I mean, somebody would have said, give me money. You say, I should ask whatever I want. Okay, number one, I want money. I really want to be rich. Filthy rich. I want to be loaded. Number two, he said, okay, then give me long life so that I can enjoy the riches. And okay, long life, but with health, with good health. Add good health. Then make sure all my enemies, they will come and they will be subdued before me. Then give me a name so that I will have a name. King Solomon, the greatest king. Give me a name. And, okay, I have others, but later I'll tell you. Now, that's all. Then God will say, there's nothing in the prayer request that is about other people. It's all about, give me, give me, give me, give me, because my name is Jimmy. Give me. And that is, you see, that is a sign of immaturity, actually. The prodigal son said, give me the portion of good that followed to me. Father gave it to him, went and squandered, came back and said, make me a servant. From give me to make me. He had become matured. So even our prayers are dominated by selfishness. We pray for ourselves and our families. Preserve me, O God, my family. Give me wisdom. You know, make my name great. Oh, bless me and enlarge my territory. Make my name great. Let me be the greatest person on this earth. Selfish prayer. God is more pleased with a prayer that is for others than one that is for you. When we consider others before ourselves, God is pleased. That's why he said, consider the poor, the fatherless, the widow, the stranger, that I, the Lord, your God, may bless you. Because that was what existed in the Garden of Eden. Adam had to distribute all the resources for all the creation so that everybody will get something. Not hoarding. Hoarding and hoarding, accumulating and hoarding and stepping on people to even get more and hoard. That is selfishness. And I'm telling you, it's all over the world. Everybody is selfish. We are all thinking about ourselves. About ourselves. How I can use you to prosper. Yeah. How I can use you. If I have to sacrifice you to make money, I will sacrifice you. That's the thinking. If I have to step on your neck to get something extra, I will do that. For me to lie down, for you to step on me to go up, that one is not in our vocabulary. That's why Jesus was strange. So for you to come down to die for these people, even the angels, I believe they don't have, because they said, what is man? These people, why are you so, you are so mindful of them, you visit them, and you're going to die for them. These people, ungrateful people like this, full of sin and weakness. But he said, greater love has no man than this. God sees us as Satan. When we think of self-preservation, we and Satan, he sees us on the same scale. Whenever you think of selfish, you think selfishly, God sees you just like the devil. He sees the I will. That's why we must always be transparent before God. Check our motives. That why we do the things we do, even the good things. We must, because sometimes we can do something good with a selfish ambition. Yeah. With a selfish ambition, we can do something good with selfish ambition. Matthew 16, verse 21. Look at what I'm saying. It's very pathetic. The day Peter met his match. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go through Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. That was very pathetic. I mean, Peter, and it was before the whole disciple, the apostle order, all the 12, they were all there. And the same chapter, Peter has said, you are the Christ. And Jesus Christ has said that, oh, Simon Bar-Jonah, you are blessed. And I also say to you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. Then the next moment, he said, he thought now, because Jesus had elevated him, he had the right to rebuke him. Because after all, I'm the one you said, I'm Peter. You know, and you, what you are saying, you shouldn't be saying things. Even though I know you are our master and our teacher, but you see, you don't see all the time. Sometimes you might listen to some of us too. The things you have been saying, you will die. It's not good. Why should you die? If you die right now, what happened to us? I left my fishing business to follow you, and you are saying you will die. So are you thinking about me? Then Jesus said, get away from me, Satan. You are Satan. Trying to prevent you from dying. You are Satan. Why do you say I shouldn't die? You are Satan. Hey! I mean, if somebody says you will not die, is he Satan? But because death was God's will for him. So whenever we start preaching self-preservation, we are preaching Satan's message. When we are thinking of how to pamper the flesh, how to flourish on this earth and think about ourselves so we become so big and big, how to prosper and increase and progress and do so that we make a name for ourselves and all that, and we are not thinking about others or thinking about God, we are Satan. We are preaching Satan's message. He said, Satan, he said, you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So Satan has his heart on the interest of man. On the interest of man. He said, don't say you will die, you won't die. And from that time, Jesus began to teach about the cross. Check it. 24. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That was when he began talking about the cross. Realize that these guys, they have still not gotten the thing. Because for Peter to say, I shouldn't die. Do you know what will follow, what will come after the death? He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and after that enter into his glories? Do you know what is coming after the death? And you, in your human thinking, you think you are trying to help me by telling me that I shouldn't go to the cross. Then he said, look, all of you, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Deny the I will. Deny, because you see, yourself, deny yourself. He said, don't think of yourself. If you want to follow me, he said, deny yourself. Do you know that ministry is simply this? When you step out of the normal selfishness people have, you are in ministry. It is not anything big. It is just deciding to be less selfish. You are doing ministry. When you start thinking about other people's salvation, you are on your way to ministry. You have started ministry. Other people's spiritual growth is ministry. Other people's stability is ministry. Other people's welfare, well-being is ministry. That is ministry. So people who do ministry are people who have decided that we will go a little bit further than the general selfishness. That's all. That's why you can get up in the morning and be praying for somebody. I remember just last Friday, I was coming for watch night. When I entered, I came late because I was so tired and I had to come for slow ministry, so I decided to go at around 2. So I came here around 2 for the watch night. When I entered the room, my phone rang. It was somebody, and I had to pray for the person on the phone. Then somebody said, "Hey, but who is calling you at this time of the night?" Somebody was calling at that time to be prayed for. That's why you sometimes can spend your energy and your strength helping other people. That is what life is about. And that is what God rewards. That is ministry. It is more blessed to give than to receive. We have to allow God to change our mindset from receiving mindset to giving mindset. Because giving brings more blessing than receiving. Giving your time, giving your money, giving your ideas, giving your help. These days, people don't know how to do things for free. I mean, I asked somebody to show me a direction to Tama Harbor. I said, can you show me? I want to know where the harbor is. I want to go to the harbor. He said, okay, come. We're in the traffic. You come. The person said, okay, have you seen this road? Okay, pass here and pass here. I said, oh, thank you. He said, oh, but is that all? I said, so just showing me the way to Tama. You want me to give you something? But I gave him something. But you see, the thing is that people don't want to do things for free anymore. We have become more selfish, even in this end time, because of the general environment. It has increased. It has increased. Now, everybody wants to do things for reward. Otherwise, he wouldn't do it. That's why we are losing true ministry. We are losing true Christianity. Because true ministry is to present the gospel without charge. True Christianity is to be living for others. We know John 3:16, but we don't know 1 John 3:16, which says that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is 1 John 3:16. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes him should not perish, but have eternal life." Let's not stop there. Let's also go to 1 John 3:16, which says that, "Just as Christ gave himself, we too ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Sacrifice your time for somebody. Sacrifice your money for somebody. Sacrifice your energy for somebody. It shouldn't always be you, me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. So, what about other people? What are we thinking of other people too? Or we are thinking of ourselves? Look at the plans you have made for your life. Where do others fit in? Where do others fit in? Why do you want to marry this person? Do you have any mind of putting something in the person's life? Or you are thinking of what the person will do for me? Oh, if I marry this person, you know, he will do this for me, she will do this for me. Why are you not thinking about what you can do for the person? It's normal human life. It's abnormal but normal. Normal because we have taken the seed. Abnormal because that's the word pertain in the garden. In the beginning, it was not so. That's why God is pleased when we look after the concerns of other people. Selfishness. That's the firstborn of the tree of knowledge. And anywhere you see selflessness, you see the spirit. That's why I said to be able to detect between the wolves and shepherds, look at selflessness and selfishness. False brethren and genuine brethren, look at selflessness and selfishness. That is the plan, the will of God for our lives. That we will embrace the way of God, which is taking the cross. You know what the cross does to you? It kills you first. The cross kills you first before it kills your enemies. So you are facing your enemies as a dead man. Because you are dead. For as long as the I will is still alive, the work of God will not begin in our lives. God will bring us to a point where he will crush the I will before he will start working with us. I will talk about that. When God calls you, God takes you through process, and the reason is to remove the I will. It can take God 40 years, 50 years to get to a point where the I will factor is subdued. Because the I stands there like this. The cross must cancel the I. So God will take you through a process where you will say, not my will. Not my will. Do you know how sometimes God gets us, think of others, when we ourselves, we go through problems. But we shouldn't wait for that. God can help us to think of others by allowing us to go through problems so that you know what it feels to go a whole day without food. So when somebody says, please help me to get food, you can feel it. Otherwise, somebody will say, oh, help you to get food. And you say, wow. I'm thinking about myself. It's my this, my that. No, you are not important. I am important. I must eat. I must be satisfied. You have not eaten. Well, that's your problem. I don't know about that. I don't recognize. My problem is I will eat. I will be full, satisfied. And I have more, and I'll say to my soul, you have many more goods laid out for you for many years. He said, fool, tonight, those things will be taken away from you. I was talking to somebody in the course of a week. I said, you, what more do you need in life? I said, you, what more do you need in life? What God has done for you, what more do you need? And I said that you are carrying excess baggage. Some must go to other people. What God has done for you, God has given you a lot of things. He wants to bless you. He has blessed you. But you are carrying excess baggage because other people's things are with you. Sometimes we go through life carrying baggage. Those baggage, they weigh us down. Because other people's things are with us. Somebody's chop money is with you. Oh, yes, I'm telling you. Somebody's chop money is with you. Somebody's happiness is in your pocket. Somebody's peace is in your mouth. There are some people, the words you speak to them will make a difference in their lives forever. But just dying a little so that somebody can live is a problem. We want to live for others to die. But the Christian way is dying a little that somebody might live. Going the extra mile that somebody will be saved. Giving something extra that somebody will be saved. That is Christianity. That is what we are missing as a church. That's why all our programs, look at the themes of our programs. Look at the themes of our programs. All our themes are selfish and kind of self-centered. How we can go on and increase. Not thinking about how other people too will increase. When you become selfless, you behave like Adam in the garden, and creation will respond to you. Let me give you this. The reason why when you give, you receive. It is this. It is a principle that God has established. It's not that God is going to give something from heaven. No. He said, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, shall men give to you. It's not coming from heaven. It's on earth here. It's a principle God has established. What he's saying is that when you become selfless, creation responds to you, because that was how Adam was. I said, the whole creation, they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? They are the people who go out of themselves to be a blessing to other people. Come to Matthew 5. Maybe this will be the last scripture. Matthew 5. Verse 45 to 48. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. He says so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Why? Because he made the sun to rise on both the good and the evil. That is how we resemble God. When you do that, creation has been commanded already to respond to you. Creation will respond to you. Creation will respond to you, will not hold from you. You see, when Adam sinned, Cain, God said, the earth will not yield its strength to you. The earth will not yield its strength to you, which means that the earth will withhold something from you. That's a curse. But when you beat this tree of knowledge of good and evil, the earth will release. Creation will release. That's a principle. In Hosea 2:21, God gives us an order. He said, in that day, I will hear the heavens, and the heavens will hear the earth, and the earth will hear the corn, the wine, and the barley, then they will hear Jezreel. So when God hears, so God will hear the earth, the heavens, that the heavens will hear, the earth will hear the heavens, then the corn will hear the earth, then the corn will hear Jezreel. Jezreel will speak, and the creation will hear, because it's a chain. It's a chain. Those who become heroes in this world, they are those who go beyond themselves, beyond their families, and think of other people. Anytime you see selfishness, know that you are seeing the nature of the devil. Anytime you have a mind that I don't want to sacrifice, it is a mind of the devil. Anytime that you think that I must think about myself only, is a mind of the devil. It's Satan who thinks like that. God wants us to think of other people too. From today, change your prayer list. Let your prayer list be filled with people. People's needs. Just, you will see how God will answer your request. Every day you're saying, oh God, mind this. Oh, mind this. Oh, mind that. Just change it one more, just once. And stop praying for people. Stop blessing people. You will see God taking care of your things. Somebody was telling me Friday, I said that, people are bad. People are very bad. And people will steal from you. People will do this. And I said, people are bad. People will steal. But you see, there's a way that you have immunity from those things when you start thinking about people. When you start blessing people, even if they steal, you still have enough. Even if people steal, you still have enough. Why? Because that is the principle that was ruling Eden. So when Jesus Christ came, he was strange. Do you know that today, when we talk about these things, we become strange? Because we see it as strange. When we talk about sacrifice and going the extra mile, doing this, even in the church, it becomes strange. But look at those people that we claim we are in the same faith with. Look at the Pauls and the Stevens, Jesus, and all those people who we claim we are following. We are following Jesus, but these people are also like following Jesus, and they are role models for us. So let's ask ourselves, the way we do this thing called life, is it the same way they did it? Look at the missionaries who came to Ghana to die here. Were they not human beings like us? They came to Ghana to die. Use their lives as seeds. I pray that God will help us. Because we are all selfish. I'm telling you, we are all selfish. We think about ourselves, not other people. But we have to repent. Yeah. From today, we have to start making a conscious effort to focus on others. If you have enough to sustain you, think of who can I help? Maybe I can ease somebody's burden. Maybe I have enough. If you know this person is in this condition and you have enough for yourself, think of somebody, that how you can make somebody's life better. That is the definition of Christianity. It's not just a matter of take it. Those things without love, they are nothing. Paul says, I can have all the gifts. I can have all the mysteries. I can have all the power, all the tongues. But if I don't have love, I am nothing. He didn't say I have nothing. He said I am nothing. Which means that if you don't have that, you see, heaven is not moved by your power display. It doesn't move heaven. When you pray and cripples are walking, heaven is not moved by that. When you take it and you fall, heaven is not moved. They don't look at those things. Heaven is moved when you walk in love. Because that is what Satan cannot do. For power, they've seen, all power comes from heaven. How do you impress God with your power? He gave you the power, so how do you impress God? He's not impressed. They are impressed when they see human beings with all our weakness. They see us stretching to take care of one another. That's when heaven is pleased. I read Final Quest, and Rejoinder said it. He went to heaven, and Jesus told him that heaven doesn't look at your power. Heaven looks at your love. When we are going out of our way to help people who are down to come up, that is where heaven's concern is. That's why he said fruit. He said that if you have all these gifts and you don't have love, you are like a clanging cymbal. You are like somebody just making noise. You know a cymbal, the one on the drums. When the drummer gets on the drum, he's doing chang 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 chang. When you are praying and you are being selfish, your prayer sounds like that in God's ears. So as soon as I say, Father, chang, 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 chang. He can't even hear you. What is he saying? What? Chang, 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 chang. And you are disturbing his ears. But when you say, oh, Father, I pray for this brother. Say, When Job prayed for his friend, Job was suffering from boils. When God said, I'll restore you and all that, it didn't happen. When he prayed for his friends, then God began to heal him. Yes, it was when he prayed for his friend that God turned away his captivity. You see, people come to us looking for fruit, not leaves. They look for, Jesus went to the fig tree for fruit, and he found leaves, and he kept the fig tree. I'll talk about that next week. Do you know it was fig leaves that they used to cover themselves? And he also kept the fig tree. Say, why are you giving me leaves without fruit? People come into our lives looking for fruit, not leaves. How many words will satisfy a hungry man? He's looking for fruit, not leaves. People come to church looking for love, not activity. They're looking for fruit, love, not sermons. Not pray. Kabaya. Meet somebody's need. Take somebody as a project and say, brother, I'm going to help you till you make it to the other side. Sister, I'm going to be by your side till you make it. That is the true definition of Christianity. These days, even when we see people's conditions and they are not good, they are bad, we close our eyes. And sometimes sometimes if you can't afford, then what you do is pray. But if you can afford, it's not a matter of prayer. Do you understand? The brother is dying of cold. He has no dress. Then you see the brother. He said, oh, brother, may the presence of God keep you warm. May Elohim, Yeshua HaMashiach, may he keep you warm and may he give you comfort. They say, bless you, brother. Meanwhile, you have money in your pocket. You have extra clothes. So John Simon was simple. If you have two tunics, give one to the one who doesn't have. That was John Simon. Simple. Christianity is simple. Whatever you want me to do for you, do the same for others. If you have more than enough, look at somebody too. It's not only you. It's not only your family. It's not only your children. It's not only your business, your ministry. My ministry. I want my ministry to go on. I want to become the most powerful preacher. No. You are wrong. That's not the way. You can indeed become powerful, but that's not the way. The way to becoming a powerful preacher is to go the Jesus way. He made himself of no reputation. I'll talk about that when service ambition. You will see that this tree, it has been planted in the church. He made himself of no reputation. He reduced himself to zero. That I don't want any reputation. I just want to serve. I just want to love. Washing their feet. Serving them. He, Jesus, was serving the disciples. Today we want to be served. We want to be treated like chiefs and kings. With appellation. Nana Ebo, Kinkinka, Kentinkanono, Nana Udutatai, Nana, and we are so happy with those things. God will have mercy on us. I've repented, though. Like this morning when I got this message, you know, like in the course of the week, I had it in a seat, but this morning is when I sat down to prepare it. I looked into my life and I realized that there are areas of my life that I have to repent. I said, oh God, help me to be less selfish, to be more selfless. Because there are times when, you see, when you put yourself before God's word, then you will see where you fall short. Then you will go before God for grace. And I want us to go before God for grace. You see, never be afraid to lose something for somebody. Never be afraid. God will bless you. You see, don't expect somebody to come from outside to help your brother or sister. No, you are that somebody. Somebody asked me, he said, I was telling the person that we went for crusade and we couldn't meet our budget and the money that we were expecting, we didn't get it and all that. Then he said, but if God was the one who sent you, why did you lack? Then I said, yes, God sent me, but God knew that I have a TV that I could have sold. So if I can't sell the TV to make up, then I must go and borrow money to make it up. I mean, that's part of God's training. Yes, a time comes where God will just give you abundance, that you can just meet your budget and have surplus. By the time comes, God is expecting you, see, what are you also doing to fulfill the vision I've given you? So if you have a TV sitting somewhere and it's comfortable and God's work is suffering, you can't sell it to come and support God's work. I mean, I'm not saying go and sell a TV. I'm talking about myself. Then if your budget, you can't meet your budget, don't say that, so if there's God, why could you treat me? God knows that you could have sold that thing. That's how God trains us. Never be afraid to lose anything for God. Take something out of yourself and bless somebody. Be observant. Look at somebody. Like one pastor was saying that he went to check with Chelowati for 6 years and nobody saw it. For 6 years, Chelowati, nobody saw it. Somebody should have seen it in a nice way. Get a present for the person. Oh, get this. Solve somebody's problem. That is what brings joy and fulfillment. If you want to live long, don't pray for long life. Don't say, oh, Father, give me long life. Give me. No. People will be praying for you. Father, don't let him die. Why? Because you are meeting people's needs. It's the other way around. You can say, long life. Oh, long, I received long life. Long life. Long life is all around you. But you don't see. Let's be on our feet. Let's pray. We have to pray for grace. Help us to be more and more selfless. Help us to be more and more selfless. Help us to die a little bit more for the sake of others. Because of you. Because of you. Help us to spend a little bit more for the sake of other people. Because of you. Help us to waste a little bit more strength for other people's sake, because of you. Help us, Lord. Give us grace. Deliver us from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Deliver us from the fruit of that tree. Help us to be selfless, Lord. Help us to embrace the concept of sacrifice, which is the major theme in the New Testament. Pray. Koria talabahasa. Lebran tolobokose. Mante breke tolobohosa. Langit prahatolobohos. Bataya le breko tolos. Mante le mekosaha. Kimla talamahandos. Likrobolo sihata. Lonli antalabahadas. Langosi tolomohos. Bante prototos. Ropalakatalabahas. Help us, Lord. 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 We repent, O God. From today, we will not look at our interests only. We will look across to see the interests of others also. We will not think of our pain only. We will think of helping others to assuage their pain. We will not think of our comfort only. We will think of other people's comfort too. We will not think of our security only. We will think of other people's security. Oh, give us grace. Give us grace. Give us grace. In the name of Jesus, we are praying this prayer. We are praying that God should help us, deliver us from the I will factor. The I will, that self-will, that selfishness, self-ambition, that God should deliver us from that. God should put us on a journey that will help us to be less selfish and more selfless, like Jesus, who came down and made himself of no reputation and became obedient, and being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Koria talabahasa. Help us, Lord. Kimra talamahasa. Rima talakosa. Ipata tabaradose. Nondre pikalosaha. Librolo singolohasa. Riketele behekas. Koriantele mehes. Namburo kotinahas. Lingratun nibahasus. Filikatul mahasasas. Ikere matili mehesokos. Kirimede krotunahasu. O Kalia talaba. Thank you, Lord. Koni mehasuria talaha. Shikahata. Ropa talaba. Longi brahatuni hasikata. Igrodos sihada havahasa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We will not think only of ourselves. There's time that you can pay for yourself and pay for somebody else. Somebody cannot pay, even for camp meeting. You can pay for yourself and pay for somebody else. And say, I'm paying for this person. I'm paying for one more person. Anything we will do to make sure that we are not thinking only of ourselves, let's do it. Even if it's a little thing, the little thing makes all the difference. Just a little thing, not to think about ourselves only. A little something to show that or to mean that we are thinking not only of ourselves but of others. Thank you, Lord. We are praying the last prayer. We are praying for this nation. We are praying for our president that God should help him, give him wisdom. God should help him, whatever good plans they have for this nation. Ghana's prosperity has started in the spirit, you know, and that's why God brought the president. He has a golden key that God should empower him to open the door of prosperity for this nation. Any selfishness that will come into his mind to start thinking of selfish things, we abolish it from his mind. Let God surround him with people who are genuine, who are selfless, who can think about the nation. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, we pray for our president. We pray, oh God, that you hold him. Bear him up, oh God. We pray that you sustain him. Grant him health, oh God. Grant him health, good health. In the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, bless every idea. Every idea that will help this nation. Bless it, oh God. Breathe on the good ideas. We banish selfishness, greed, selfish mentality from his mind. Surrounding him with people who are selfless, who help him execute the agenda you have given him. In the name of Jesus. There's a song that goes like this. Say, Wudo, where Wuradi, Men, Wajini, Na, Say, Wudo, Yonko, Wudo, Nya, Say, Wuan. Asasiani dani butu bi po tutu kogo pugnuwa insuro insuro oka oho dan se wudo we wurade Wakumemu wajini na nase o do yonko o do unia se o hoa asasieni dani butu mipo tutu kogupu bupa. Insuro, insuro, oka oho. Oh, Father, we thank you. We bless you, O God. We pray, O God. We come before you. We are all guilty of selfishness. In one way or the other, O God, we have been less thoughtful. We have been more selfish, less selfless. We repent, O God. Help us, O God. Deliver us from self, from selfishness. Help us to embrace the cross. Help us to embrace true Christianity. Put us on a path, O God, the same path that Jesus walked on. That path of dying to save. That path of losing to gain. That path of going down to go up. That path of descending to ascend. Help us, Lord, put it on that same path and give us more grace. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Rise my soul.